Welcome to National Liberty Alliance's weekly call. Today is October 7th, 2024. We broadcast live every Monday from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern Time. If you're listening over Rumble or YouTube or another network and you would like to ask a question or make a comment, you can go to nationallibertyalliance.org and click on our weekly call for instructions to join us live by phone, app, or browser. If anyone would like to email a question, you can send your questions to questions, that's plural, questions at nationallibertyalliance.org. Also, please support our business partners. You can find their banners on the right-hand side of our website, in which the proceeds go to support NLA's effort to save our republic. Also, please support NLA by donating $5 a month or more. Click on the donation tab on the top right side of our website. Okay, we're going to start off with scripture reading. We're in the epistle, First Peter, and we'll be listening to chapter 3, 1 Peter, chapter 3, read by Alexander Scorby.
Chapter 3. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair, and of wearing of gold, or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful. Be courteous. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you, if ye be followers of that which is good? But, and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a-preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him.
Okay, Jen, do we have any questions or announcements tonight?
We have several questions, John.
Okay.
The first one is, I am a new member and would like to know how to get in actively involved in my area, which is South Orange County, Newport Beach area in California. I have reached out to all numbers pertaining to my area, including the COS leader.
Is that it?
That's the question. How do I get involved? Yep.
All right. Well, that's a good question for tonight because we're going to talk a little bit about that. You know, we have a page here. It's handbooks. It's found under Starter Committee of Safety. I mean, the first thing you do is if you first click that button right there, and then you read on and follow the breadcrumb trail at that point, you'll eventually find yourself. Well, on the end of this page, you'll get to a place where you can find or start a committee of safety within your county. And, of course, if you click on that, you'll get more information, how to register your committee of safety, or find someone, a district leader that may have already started one. But eventually you will get to a page that's called Handbooks, Videos, and Tools. And that is the key page. We've written numerous handbooks for the purpose of teaching people how to start a committee of safety and also how to get all of the subcommittees going, what their purpose is, how to organize them, and so on and so forth. What I did, though, recently is I started making short videos, which we're going to play one of them tonight. And one of them is, of course, Committee of Safety, the charter. I may do an introduction video first, which I haven't done yet, which might be just, 20 minutes or so, just kind of introducing different things. But basically, I'm going to lay out these videos in order the way people should pursue things in order to create a committee of safety. So we've got the charter here. We've got the resolutions. And then meet your sheriff. Today I was working on the political committee, breaking down how that works and that kind of a structure. And that's where, you know, a lot of these committees, we're going to find that we need to be communicating with other committees of safety within our state. Of course, starting off with committees in the counties very close by, and assisting them if they haven't got a committee going, people that might be interested. We'll get into all that, and we're going to put them into short videos. Now, all these videos really are, the information on these videos can be found under the PDFs here, which is the County Committee of Safety Organizing Structure, and then the County Committee of Safety Organizing Handbook, and in the County Committee of Safety Committeeman Handbook, which is really focusing in on the political committee. And again, you know, we're going to continue to make these short videos. They have been posted up on Rumble. They've been posted on YouTube. And, of course, they're on this page right here, right on our website, so you can view them. And I am posting them in order that people might or should be really reading them. So to lay out the whole program, explain everything very specifically. Plus, of course, there are handbooks down here in order to take those handbooks to get a much more deeper understanding and a more complete appreciation and information on the different processes that we've put together. So, again, there's a lot of information here. Also, on this page, I mean, we have tremendous amounts of tools. We have all of this information in Word. We've got it in PowerPoint. We've got it in videos. They're all downloadable, and we've got them in PDFs. And then, of course, we have a lot of PDF tools information on different things you can do and use on the committees of safety on a monthly basis where you study a particular thing or learn something specifically, which is important for trying to get the message out into your community and educate people and so on and so forth, and of course educate yourself. So we have tremendous amounts of information here, and we also have a setup on how you can run a seminar. A seminar would be about 4 hours at least long. The introduction to people in your county could be done in 2 hours, which is one I just recently did, which is the ones that are being recorded, and we'll share that as we go along over the coming weeks. So hopefully this will make things a lot more easier for people and give them, a really good understanding, at least through videos. And again, all of this stuff is also available in handbooks. And the handbooks are PDFs, downloadable free. And if people wanted to purchase those handbooks in a pocket-type handbook, they can do that also. You can find that under Welcome tab, come down to Books by John Duresh. And on that page will be all the books that were written here. And you'll find, for instance, the County Committee of Safety Committee Man Handbook. And then there's also creating the Committee of Safety. Next question.
Well, John, the next question is about 2 pages long, so I suggested that the person get on the call tonight and pull a question or two or three out of that long, detailed account, and I don't see him in the queue because the queue isn't open, so maybe we can wait a while and see if he shows up.
All right, let me see if I can't. Let's see. I'll open. Who might want to get into the queue early? If you're coming in on the phone, it's a *6 and a 1. And if you're on an app or a browser, there should be a little button there telling you to enter the queue. So if anyone wants to get into the queue. Okay, so you can't break any questions away. You want to just go on to the next question, or there is there another question?
That was the last question, John.
Okay. So. All right, well, if that person's here, they can get into the queue and ask the question. So we'll go right to this, and we're going to look at a video tonight. It's about 20 minutes long. Let's see, where is it? Okay. You can find these videos, Start a Committee of Safety, come down to Handbooks, Videos, and Tools. And we're going to look at the first video here, which is the charter. Okay, and this is to put together a charter for your Committee of Safety. And, of course, there are other videos as we go along, but we'll do this one tonight. Okay. Let me know and make sure the sound is coming through on this. Hopefully we don't have a problem with that. This video is sponsored by National Liberty Alliance. The purpose of this video is to propose Committee of Safety Charter that can be added to as the Committee of Safety sees fit. It is important to structure your Committee of Safety that is consistent with other Committees of Safety in order to work together, county to county and state to state, with a focus on taking back our local governments, cities, towns, villages, and county first. And only then, working together, can we take back control of our state and federal governments. United we stand, divided we fall. It is important to realize that the purpose of NLA is to facilitate an education, organization, council, and assist in communications among the county committees of safety to discuss and solve problems on the state and federal level. NLA believes that committees of safety must be free and independent and to act as they see fit. NLA has no desire to lead the committees of safety, only educate and advise. As Thomas Jefferson said, if a people expect to be ignorant and free, they expect what never was and never will be. Your state, your county, Committee of Safety Charter. We, the people of your county, hereby certify that on, whatever the date may be, in the year of our Lord, 2024, or 25, or whatever, your County Committee of Safety assembled, resolved, and adopted this charter on behalf of we, the people of your county, in order to secure the Union, preserve justice, ensure domestic tranquility, restore the militia, promote the general welfare, secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, and exercise our unalienable right of government by consent. This charter may be updated to add to or alter as necessary by the approval of popular vote of a quorum. There is no limitation to the number of committee men, for it is an unalienable right of all the people to have government by consent. Many hands make light work. Committee of Safety Purpose. The purpose of the County Committee of Safety is for we the people to exercise our unalienable right of government by consent. The County Committee of Safety is primarily humanitarian, and to protect, defend, and support the Constitution for the United States of America, and to assist the sheriff and jury administrators in securing the rights of the people. Committees of Safety, historically speaking, empowered the people at the grassroots to return control of their local government back under the will of the people. The County Committee of Safety supports the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury, which has filed writ quo warranto and a final presentment to the United States Supreme Court, exposing the enemy of liberty, both foreign and domestic, and is determined to take back our judiciary and restore our courts of justice. Committees of safety are needed to take back our control of our political and judicial process at the grassroots level. In 1774, the various committees of safety called for the First Continental Congress. Delegates to that Congress went from town to county to provincial level committees before being selected to go to Philadelphia. In western Massachusetts, committees of safety forced the resignation of rogue judges appointed under the Massachusetts Government Act, 1774. The committees of safety is the very same method that our founding fathers used to take control of their local governments. These free and independent committeemen built the nation we inherited. We the people, through the true committeemen at the grassroots, will take back control of our local, state, and federal governments, filling political vacancies with statesmen who will honor their oaths and remove, via recall, all tyrants that have seized control of various political positions. Committees of Safety Authority. We said via the 10th Amendment that the powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution nor forbidden by it to the states are reserved to the states respectively or to the people. We said via the Declaration of Independence that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed, and that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it, and to institute new government, laying its foundations on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect our safety and happiness. We, the people, have been providentially provided legal recourse to address the criminal conduct of the judiciary ourselves, entrusted via natural law to dispense justice. We the people ordained and established the Constitution for the United States of America. We the people vested Congress with statute-making powers. We the people defined and limited Congress's power of lawmaking. We the people ordained limited lawmaking powers via the Constitution. We the people reserve the right to remove and replace elected or appointed guards when they become destructive to the security of our liberties. Sovereignty itself is, of course, not subject to law, for it is the author and the source of law. But in our system, while we the people delegated to the agencies of government certain vested powers, sovereignty itself remains with the people, by whom and for whom all government exists and acts, and the law is the definition and limitation of power. Committee of Safety Goal. The goal of the Committee of Safety is to maintain safety in the community by requiring our servants in government to obey the Constitution and the constitutional chain of command during a national emergency. Whereas the people's Bill of Rights will be protected and secured by the only elected constitutional law enforcer, the county sheriff. We will present to the sheriff a copy of the Declaration of Independence, U.S. Constitution, Bill of Rights, the County Sheriff's Common Law Handbook, and the book Government by Consent, with the expectation that through these documents he will discover his authority and honor his oath. The sheriff, being the chief law enforcer of the county, is expected to know and exercise his authority to protect the people from rogue government agents and code enforcement officers. If the sheriff is not willing to learn and honor these duties, it becomes our duty to recall him and elect the sheriff who will. FEMA has engaged a national readiness exercise under the code name of Rex 84, which called for the suspension of the Constitution and turning the complete control of all local governments over to FEMA, while using UN troops to keep law and order during a national emergency. FEMA's plan leaves out the most important part of rebuilding America, we the people, and a free and independent local government. The end results of Rex 84 is a New World Order America without our 1789 Constitution. We, the people, through the County Committee of Safety, will prevent this by informing and educating our elected and appointed servants within our local governments. Our government is still intact. It's just shrouded by evil veil of corporatism. Committee of Safety Objectives. Restore government by consent. Restore courts of justice by supporting the unified United States Common Law Grand Jury. Restore a fully informed county sheriff who will protect the rights of the people. Remove all tyrants from office via recall. Secure the safety of all the people within our county. Restore morality and a proper education in our schools. Secure community preparedness concerning a proper and lawful chain of command during a local or national emergency. Ensure that during an emergency the rights of the people will not be violated. Assist the settling of displaced people during an emergency. Work with other county committees of safety to address and solve shared problems. Subcommittees to the General Committee. Definitions and rules of the County Committee of Safety are founded under the County Committee of Safety resolutions. The following committees are to be initiated. The Educational Committee. Educate the people in the government by consent and visit schools to require proper education such as civics, constitution, natural law, courts access, etc. Political Committee. To support candidates that will learn and obey the Constitution and recall all elected representatives that are acting outside their constitutional authority. For more information, see Committee of Safety Committeeman Handbook, found at nationallibertyalliance.org/handbooks. The Judicial Committee. Oversees the jury administrators and assists the people who are having a problem with a bureaucrat, assisting them in gaining access to a grand jury if necessary. The Militia Committee. To instruct all members in their duty as part of the militia. For more information, see the Militia Code Rules and Resolution Handbook, found at nationallibertyalliance.org/handbooks. Committee of Correspondence. To communicate with other county committees of safety. Establish other committees as determined by popular vote of a quorum. Communications. The Committee of Correspondence is responsible for communicating with other county committees of safety and National Liberty Alliance, and is to seek out at least one ham radio operator within the county that is willing to join our County Committee of Safety. whereas ham operators are already prepared for emergency communications, so they should be easily approachable with our plan. NLA has information on becoming a ham radio operator. Everyone should buy at minimum a ham handheld radios. For more information, go to nationallibertyalliance.org/ham. Plan of action during an emergency. The Constitution provides for the people under the sheriff control to maintain law and order under posse comitatus. The people need to work under the authority of local government to compassionately help their neighbors in times of crisis. If the federal government wants to help by sending aid, we will accept it. Posse Comitatus Act, 1878, the power or force of the county. The term refers to a doctrine of ancient English common law authorizing a sheriff to summon the assistance of the able-bodied male population above the age of 15. These appointed special deputies would aid the sheriff in keeping the peace, executing writs, quelling riots, capturing felons, and otherwise enforcing the laws. Unlike the organized militia, a posse was usually gathered as needed. The practice continued in the United States as the posse became necessary in American colonial and frontier tradition. America has 18,443 towns and 297 cities with an estimated 323.7 million people. The federal government cannot possibly compassionately help all of we the people. All Americans need to come together and work together. This is the way of a free and moral people. We the people will not go to FEMA camps. We will remain in our communities and work with our local sheriff and local government authorities to keep and care for our families, friends, and neighbors. Whereas an emergency that would cause chaos in our counties, such as a monetary collapse or other national disruption, hereinafter called a national disaster, and thereby law and order would need to be reestablished and our community would need protection from would-be tyrants, criminals, roaming gangs, etc. The securing of our liberties, our Constitution, and the guarantee of our republic requires that every county have a chief executive and administrative law officer. Our common law constitution has already established such a chief executive, the administrative officer. We, the people, being a lawful people, will require the obedience of all elected and appointed servants to serve and obey the law of the land. During a national disaster, it is therefore resolved that local government is the closest to the people and the most capable to respond to and serve the people during a national disaster, and therefore local government controls shall not be relinquished to any state or federal authorities. We, the people working with and through our local governments, are the authority and understand the needs of the people. All sheriffs in a state of emergency shall perform their sworn duty to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution for the United States of America, and protect the people of the county, their private property, and all assets of the county. The sheriff alone is responsible to maintain law and order in the county and to work with other county sheriffs across the state and the nation to do the same. If the sheriff permits the suspension of the U.S. Constitution in his county, liberty will be lost forever, and he too then wars against the people and will be tried for treason. All city police, town police, village police, and state police are subservient to the sheriff. The county sheriff is to notify all police enforcement operating within his jurisdiction that he is taking 100% control of the security of the county, and all law enforcement are to report to the sheriff as per the sheriff's protocols. The county sheriff is to exercise posse comitatus during an emergency as he deems necessary. The county sheriff is not to share or relinquish said control with any federal or state agency. In times of emergency, the only constitutional authority to keep the peace during an invasion is posse comitatus under the Second Amendment, whereas our sheriff is to summon we the people of the counties to secure the peace. Federal agents and foreign troops on state soil would be repugnant to our Constitution, an act of war. All elected officials and law enforcement are to be on guard against tyrants who are anxious to seize upon a national emergency in order to bring in martial law and destroy America. Local emergency services during a national disaster are to proceed according to existing protocols. When necessary, additional volunteers shall be trained to handle projected emergencies during a national disaster. The Fifth Amendment Common Law Grand Jury shall continue to operate and consider indictments concerning all criminal charges. The Sixth Amendment Common Law Trial by Jury shall continue to operate. Each town is to provide for and the receiving of the people for the filling of voluntary work positions with town, county, and local businesses in order to provide water, food, services, electricity, security, etc. All able-bodied people are to participate. Simply put, if you don't work, you don't eat. Each town is to have weekly town meetings at venues large enough to accommodate all the people, outside venues if necessary, in order to communicate to the people the state of the town and county and discuss openly the problems and solutions. We the people, on whatever date that might be, in the year of our Lord 2024, through the Your County Committee of Safety, unanimously adopt this charter to secure domestic tranquility in our community. We should strive to unanimously adopt this charter, and if not, a majority of 3/4 by a quorum is required. Sealed, Chairman, Co-Chairman, Secretary, Treasurer. Okay, all right, anyway, that is, the instructions to start a charter, that's the framework. Of course, there's a lot of other things that people will be adding to that within their committees of safety. A couple of weeks ago, we did look at the resolutions. Had a lot of problems with that, a lot of errors, and some things I needed to add and make some stronger language concerning the control of the sheriff and his requirement to become educated and honor his oath. And if he doesn't, then we recall him. And we'll be teaching that process on how to recall. We'll probably make a short video on that too. We're going to be making short videos on the education committee, specifically instructing the people on exactly what the purpose of that committee is and how it could go about bringing a proper education to all the schools within our counties. Same thing with the political committee. Not that we're going to get involved with politics, but we're going to get involved with the political process, which is what the committee men ought to be doing. We being the true committee men, not statutory committee men that are controlled by lawyers who wrote statutes to control them and party bosses to, again, control the committee men and bring in, the criminal on the right or the criminal on the left into power. Also, we'll be doing a video on the judicial committee. We'll be doing with a lot of details on that. The militia, we're going to do a short video on that also. Committee of Correspondence. Then, of course, there'll be other committees that the committees will discover, the general committee, which is the Committee of Safety, will discover from time to time a need to create another subcommittee to deal with a particular situation or problem or whatever the case may be. Some of those committees might be short-term living, and when the problem is dealt with, then wouldn't be needed anymore. And maybe some committees would be added on a permanent basis as the people within their county see fit. But it's important that we build these committees of safety, that they are free and independent without any outside influence to try to control or lead them in any way. They have to lead themselves. They have to come together and work together, and they have to come to solutions among themselves and work out their problems. No national leadership is necessary. As a matter of fact, that would be problematic and only bring us back to the place where we are right now, eventually. So, you know, again, we'll be creating a lot of these short videos. And most of these videos, really, you can find the information on all these videos and all the videos we're going to be making within these committeeman handbooks. Now, all of these videos that we're going to be playing one a week until we get through them all, but next week we're going to do the Committee of Safety Resolutions, and the week after that we'll do the Meet Your Sheriff, and we'll be adding more videos there. And like I mentioned earlier, we'll do an introductory video, which we'll put on the top, so people will be able to go through these videos in a chronological order in order to logically build and work your committees of safety through the process. All of these videos, again, are downloadable right below it, right in this section. You got all the videos. We have the PowerPoints that you use to make that, so people would prefer doing PowerPoints instead of playing a particular video in order to introduce things. Yeah, that's up to them. And, of course, a copy of the charter, the resolution, also a copy of the seal on how to get a seal and what a seal should look like and what information should be put onto it for the purpose of uniformity. A two-sided flyer to be handed out when you're bringing people together in order to introduce them. And even or when the Committee of Safety really starts its first meeting, probably should be handing those kind of things out. We also have some other videos. We have the Star Spangled Banner, as you've never heard it before. It's something that one might want to play. And the NLA Introduction, which I think is a 60-minute video. I don't recall particularly, but we'll talk about that later on as time goes on. We also have all these things in PDFs, and then again, as I mentioned earlier, all kinds of tools, videos, PowerPoints, ideas, places, venues, it goes on and on. And also how to, every community really should have a growing, I know it's a problem within the cities maybe, but in the towns and the villages throughout America, and you could do it in the cities too. You can find places, I know, during the different emergencies in America over the past, people had grown gardens in all kinds of places. So we've got all kinds of information on putting together gardens. And then some other videos. Well, I got to go through some of these videos and see once. It's been a while since I put them up there. Okay, so with that, we're going to go to our Q&A. If anybody, we only got one person in the Q&A, so if anybody has a question, a comment, or a correction to be offered, an idea to bring up, *6 and 1 if you're on a phone to get into the queue, and or if you're on an app or a browser, click on that button to enter into the queue. Okay, so hopefully some people will get in, get some conversation. Okay, we'll take our first and only person in the queue at the moment. Let's see. Looks like Brady, maybe? Anyway, give us your first name and your state. That's the mic.
Yes, Alvin Vickham. I was wondering how to get a copy of that 127-page document that you filed with the Supreme Court.
Okay. Oh, good question. Matter of fact, I meant to bring that up. Okay. We will be filing that. I'll post. I was going to get it posted tonight by tonight's meeting, but I didn't get around to it. So probably tomorrow I'll post it up on the website. I will probably, let me see where I'll post it. I think I'm going to post it on the front page. Okay. So I'll put a link somewhere on this front page right up on the top probably. And you'll be able to click on it and download the entire paper. It's actually 128 pages is the paper. a presentment and an order. It's not just a presentment, but it goes beyond that. It's a presentment and an order to the United States Supreme Court to open the courts of justice back up. They've got the doors closed. They've got doorkeepers preventing us from coming into our courts, and we want them open. And so we're going through the details of exactly all the problems. This is what the paper describes, all of the problems that are with the courts right now, and the solution by command to open the doors. We also attached to that, we have attachments, and I think the whole paper comes out to be, with the attachment, about 158 pages. We have a copy of the Quo Warranto, which I believe is 15 pages, which is also attached to that. As a reminder, we've already served that upon all of these people. Whether the United States Supreme Court have a sword or not, they've got doorkeepers. So, but I realize now we've got other... someone's mic is open, by the way. We've got... someone's mic is open. Or is it coming through you? Anyway. Well, I lost my train of thought. Well, any other questions there or comments? Anything else? Did someone mute him or did he mute himself? There you go. I think, yeah, you go. You're unmuted. Go ahead. Anything else? What was your name again? Did you say, I didn't really get that. Did you say Alvin? I don't know if you're still there. I see your mic is open. Am I coming through, by the way? It's not me that's silent, am I?
Yeah, you're coming through.
Okay. Yeah, do you have anything else to add or another question or comment? There's nobody else in the queue at the moment, so if we don't get anybody else into the queue, we'll pick up on some kind of a subject matter.
So where I'm going to get a copy of the documents that you file, what do I have to do? Go National Liberty Alliance, huh?
Yeah, go to nationallibertyalliance.org. And you should come on to the program either on an app or your browser, because then you can see our desktop. I share the desktop and be showing where this is at. But it'll be on the front page. I'll probably post it tomorrow. Once I post it, I will send an email out of its posting. And we haven't filed it yet. We're going to file it on Friday. Okay.
Oh, okay.
So, but we're gonna open it up, right away. And we're encouraging people, hoping people will take this and help to get it viral. We need to get this out everywhere. So we want to get this out to as many people as possible, get as much attention as possible to it.
And how go about downloading it, like maybe to a flash drive or?
Yeah. All you have to do is click on the link, and once you click on the link, it'll be a PDF. Okay, so you open up in a PDF, and then all you have to do is go up to the top right side of your PDF and click on the save, and you can save it anywhere on your computer or thumb drive or whatever you want to save it on.
Okay.
And what I might do, it's a very long paper, but it's a great read, number one, and definitely will educate people. Anybody that's interested in learning how to write and go into the courts and make their cases, all these papers really are educational, and this is very educational. We've got a lot of information in there, but again, it's an education in itself. There's a lot of things in there people could use for their own cases, potentially speaking. If they have a case going, they can cut and paste whatever they want. Within that, on a PDF, the footnotes don't follow along, so whatever you cut and paste, you'll have to also go and cut and paste the footnotes and place them within to your document. Microsoft Word, it's pretty simple to do that. So this is the cut and paste thing. It's not a big thing. What I'm probably going to do over, once I get all these other videos done, I think I'm going to read that through and put it out on Rumble and YouTube, but probably in like half-hour segments. I'm not going to do the whole thing. It could be many, many hours to go through the whole thing. It's like reading a short book, really. But it's powerful, it's informative, it's educational, and it will help anyone to assist them in in their writing skills. Again, writing comes from reading other people's works. So if you're anybody that, you know, any cases that are out there that are well written, or any decisions from the Supreme Court, whether it be state or federal, all of those papers are worthy of reading to some degree. Of course, it depends on the subject matter that's at hand, which is helpful. But even if it's something that's not necessarily of an interest, but it's laying out information, laying out the law, and so on, and you know, all of that is informative, and then it is teaches us how to write, how to speak, and so on. Okay. Anything else? We do have one other person in the queue now. Again, the queue is open. Anybody wants to get into the queue, *6 and 1. If you're on a phone and if you're with your app or browser, there should be a button to click to get into the queue.
Okay, no, that's it. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you for the call. Okay, we'll take next caller. It looks like Tim from Oregon. You got the mic. Go right ahead.
Is that me?
That's you.
Okay. Yeah, I got, I don't know, it's a question. It fits right in with what your video was. There was, I was headed on into town here the other day, and the county sheriff come by me, or a deputy, and on the back of the sheriff's outfit, and you've kind of covered this somewhat, I don't know how it fits all in with what you're dealing with, but there was ordinance, officer or ordinance enforcement or something like that right there scribbled underneath county sheriff or whatever. And I thought you could comment on it.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, look, at you know, we have to have a hard hand with the sheriff. You know, we want to meet with him very softly. And again, we're going to be playing the video on Meet Your Sheriff shortly. I think before we do that, we're going to want to do the resolutions first, because in the resolution, it lays out the process of getting rid of a sheriff who refuses to educate themselves, who refuses to comply and to honor their oath. They must do all three. You know, we're the people, you know, they work for us. We don't work for them. We are their authority. They need to follow our lead and be obedient to our instructions in all things that, of course, are lawful. And, of course, when it comes to the business of law enforcement, that's the sheriff's duty. But he needs to know it. He needs to understand it. So the thing is once we get once committees of safety set together their charter and then their resolutions and they get their seal, and they put it all together and bind it together in like a book. I have my own binder here that I use in my office, but people don't have binders. Maybe the secretary, maybe you should buy one, and the secretary should have it for the purpose, because you're going to be creating a lot of these, you know, running off a lot of these copies as time goes by, that you're going to have your resolutions and your charter and the seal. They need to be sealed. Both papers need to be sealed. And that's what you produce to the sheriff, and in there the instructions concerning what we're going to be doing if a sheriff's not obedient. I did some research on the sheriffs recently, and we wrote a paper and filed it in the court a couple of weeks back, maybe a month ago, and that paper was specifically dealing with the sheriff problem, but we also duplicated that within our presentment and order concerning the sheriffs. I was alarmed to find out that we don't have many sheriffs at all that really are properly set, properly informed, and properly educated, and properly exercising and executing, you know, their what they took an oath, which is to protect the Constitution and the people. There's some cities where the sheriff is subject to the police department. There are some places, there's some states where the sheriff has lost the ability to make arrests. I mean, this list goes on and on and on. More than half of our states have serious problems within the legislation which controls the sheriffs. there should be zero education for the control of the sheriff. There may be some information that legislators can write out, certain things like, you know, a sheriff must be, of course, for instance, our constitution here in New York, a sheriff must be elected, four-year term, that kind of information, chief law enforcer, and so on. But not to no details to control him, no statutes to control him, just information to in our either legislation or our state constitutions empowering him. Okay, so this is something we're working through also within the courts. Devolution is in play. Things are about to get wild now in the next month or two. You know, we see this hurricane that took place down south, and it's done a lot of destruction. I really believe, I haven't heard about this anywhere particularly, but I believe that HAARP is playing a role in this. We have another hurricane that's pushing up to be a Category 5. Looks like it's going to hit Florida real hard. And again, these things are brewing up real quick. Now, I haven't been following along, but it seems like these things have been growing out of the Gulf of Mexico, which is that doesn't happen often. You know, usually it comes from out on the other side, sort of the pond, and works its way across the ocean and kind of builds up and eventually may slide into the Gulf of Mexico or go up the East Coast or whatever the case may be. But I haven't been following it to know what the birth of this particular, these two hurricanes are all about. But the thing is, I think HAARP is playing a role in this, and it's causing havoc. You know, I think people have forgotten what took place in Hawaii. I mean, everything has gone, you know, dead on that. You don't hear nothing about that. And you have these people that have destroyed Hawaii and have killed a lot of people out there by preventing an escape routes from them to be able to escape. And, you know, the fire and all kinds of things. I mean, and yet there's silence. We don't hear nothing about that anymore. Well, it's the same thing down in the Carolinas, and it's going to be the same thing potentially in Florida, if it hits Florida real hard. As a matter of fact, I don't know if people have been paying attention to some of the stories. There was one story particularly where an individual who had some kind of a business going on, he had a helicopter, and he went in, you know, he had police background and army background and some other, and he's been a pilot for a long time. So he went up to help to do the rescue, to pull people out of areas that, you know, really were totally destroyed, and the people had to get out of there. And FEMA, I think it was FEMA, when he landed, bringing some people, he was kicked out and told not to go back in there, and he was prevented from helping. What's going on there? I mean, again, same thing that happened in Hawaii. I don't know if people are realizing what's going on here. I mean, clearly there's a conspiracy to prevent people from getting anything, and, you know, the White House hasn't reacted properly to it, and FEMA is really walking out there almost crippled with practically nothing. It's kind of up to we the people. Trying to think who it is. There may be a couple of organizations that are looking for funding to help the people down there, and that's what we need to do, is seek that out. Oh, I Billy Graham's, I guess it was his son, he's forming a coalition to help the people and asking for money. So people might want to look into that, maybe donate some money for the cause to help these people to get food and water and a temporary shelter maybe and generators and whatever we can give them, medical needs, transportation out of dangerous areas, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Because clearly our government has no interest in the people whatsoever. Their only interest is power. And I do think a lot of this, and I could be wrong, but I don't think so. Again, I think it's a HAARP thing that's going on down there. So, you know, they really is really causing a problem here and creating this issue. But devolution is in play, and it's going to get worse. We already hear about potential nuclear use over in Korea. North Korea made some claims, if anybody assaults us, we're going nuke. Russia's considering something like that too. So the nuke scare is on its way. War is on its way. Unrest within our cities. We have enemies, foreign and domestic, in all of our cities ready to erupt. It's going to be simultaneous across this nation. But we also know that the deployment of armed forces have been out for quite some time, and more movements going on that. So it's getting really dicey, really, really rough. We're also seeing all this pedophilia and all of this other thing what's going on in Hollywood. And that's just the beginning of the iceberg. I think a lot of the Jeffrey, what was his last name? Jeffrey, I forget his last name. But anyway, the guy who had that
Epstein.
Thing. Epstein, thank you. So Epstein, I think a lot of that stuff's going to start opening up. That's going to start hitting the airways, so to speak. It's getting hot. I strongly suggest people should have at least 30 days worth of food, bare minimum, food and water in their homes, at least 30 days, because who knows what's going to happen. We did see that the docks were going on strike, the dock workers along the East Coast and down around the Gulf, but that was put off until after the election. I'm kind of thinking Trump might have something to do with that, or the White Hats, White Hats, generally speaking, had something to do with that, because I tell you, the first thought came in my mind when I saw it and heard about that was that, well, okay, they're moving towards starving us out at some degree, you know, to shut all those ports down through a strike. This is not the time for them to strike. There's so many emergencies going on in this world, and especially in our nation, so many problems, so many things happening, and for some organization to go on strike, which would be the union, for the dock workers, to go on strike would be a blow to this nation. It would be an assault, and I tell you, at the end of the day, if it was up to me, they'd all hang for really subversion, because they'd just be adding to the destruction of the people, destruction of our nation. So anyway, a lot of things going on. Back to you,
well,
Tim.
Well, what I was more just interested in is a lot of these small towns, you know, have given up their cops, and they're contracting with your deputy and stuff, with your sheriff's department. And that's what this sheriff rig that passed me, that I was more interested in that kind of a deal.
What do you mean contracting with the sheriff?
Well, they're and in the schools too. The city or the school districts are contracting having the sheriff send a deputy to their town or whatever, and on these small towns that have given up on their. On their city cops. That's what the ordinance was on the back of that rig about.
Well, not to enforce regulations or any of the ordinances. That's not the job of a sheriff. The sheriff is law enforcement. As far as regulations are concerned, they don't have the power, the authority to apply that to the people at all. Only to commercial activity or government agents and agencies. Are applied to that kind of thing, but
and
not
that
we.
That wouldn't change because they got a contract to be the city cop or the city the school district deal.
Only for the law enforcement part of it, not to enforce regulations or codes or statutes. Not for that purpose, because then they would be breaking their oath. They're law enforcement officers.
That's the point I was looking at. That it looks like if they're. If they're doing ordinance for the city, when they're a county deputy or a sheriff, whichever the deal be, it looks like it's kind of out of order.
Mm-hmm. Well, absolutely. Again, here's the problem, and I speak to myself first. We're all ignorant to the law. We're all ignorant to who we are as a people. What kind of a nation we are, the fact that we're a republic, the fact that we're a Christian nation. I mean, all these things. were built upon the Bible. That's the structure of who we are as a people here in the United States of America. We're not built upon Rome or civil law. We're built upon common law, God's law. And God's law is written in the hearts of all men. We know when an individual has been injured or whether an individual has done a wrongdoing. We don't need any kind of a statute to tell us that. We just need to listen to the story, look to see what's going on, and we know what needs to be done for that. We know that people need to be restored. Some people do need to go to prison, maybe, because they're violent or whatever the case may be, in that sense. But generally speaking, there's so many people in prison that just don't belong there, and the people who they injured have not been restored. But government has no desire to do anything for we the people. This is why the Committees of Safety, only the people can save America, okay? Trump and the White Hats, so to speak, go through devolution. Yeah, they can win back this nation. They can give it back to the people, but the people don't have any clue, not an inkling of a clue, on how to have government by consent. They don't even know that they're a republic. As Jefferson said, if a people expect to be ignorant and free, they expect what never was and never ever will be. So we need to educate ourselves. We need to educate, get into the schools and get our children properly educated. We need to educate our sheriffs, and we need to support statesmen to be put them into office, which is what the committeemen job is. The Committee of Safety are the committeemen. They're the true, free, and independent committeemen, not controlled by bar attorneys, not controlled by party bosses. Parties are destructive. No republic can survive political parties. They cannot do it. George Washington spoke, well, our founding fathers spoke about this, but George Washington, in his farewell address, spent at least two-thirds of his farewell address concerning the problem with parties and how it would destroy America. And lo and behold, that's where we're at right now. And whereas, of course, Jefferson spoke on how the courts will destroy, the judges will destroy America. And lo and behold, here we are. We don't have a constitution anymore. We don't have a Bill of Rights anymore. We don't have the law of the land anymore. We have Babylonian law. Civil law is municipality law, the control of the people. It's the law of the city to control and fleece the people. And that's what it's all about. And you trace its roots right back to Rome, and Rome through, back right through, into Babylon. And Justinian law was just repackaged Babylonian law. Roman law is just repackaged Justinian law. Civil law in the United States, where a judge comes up and is, judge, a jury, and executioner, the whole thing. Total control and of the courts, and that's, it's just repackaged of the same thing to destroy America, to destroy our law system, and that's where we're at. So education is the key, and we have to educate our sheriffs. And if the people are not going to get up and build committees of safety within their communities to take back their government by exercising their unalienable right of government by consent, they will tell you, you've done your duty when you go out and pull that voting stick. That's it. You've done your duty. You voted. Go home and we'll take care of the rest. Well, that's what people believe. That's what people believe. And people won't even go when they're called for a jury, a duty, whether it be grand or petit jury. And I don't blame them to some degree because they're only applying. I mean, if I gone down there, they're not going to want me to be on their jury because I'm free and independent. I'm not going to rule the way they want me to rule, and I'm going to free all the other jurists that are in there by bringing them the truth. And taking away their ignorance, truth will set them free. But anyway,
there was another interesting little situation that was kind of interesting. I don't recall the actual incident, but or even where it was at, but somewhere here in the county. But there was a something irrelevant, basically a little fender bender or something. But anyway, there was a definite right and a wrong in the deal, and someone needed a citation. So, and anyway. The interesting thing was the county sheriff or a deputy, the sheriff department is the first law enforcement on the scene in that particular deal, and then the reporter goes on and talks about this and that, but it was very clear the first officer on the scene was the sheriff's deputy, but they didn't issue a citation until the city cop or state cop or somebody else showed up to issue the citation. So somebody's paying attention to a little something.
Well, the sheriff, what was the citation for, do you know?
Well, it had to do with this little fender bender or little wreck or whatever it was. From the way I recall it, was definitely there was one of the somebody didn't stop at a stop line and mainline somebody a little bit, but there was no serious injuries or anything like that.
Well, that kind of thing, a sheriff could write up the report on that and do the necessary paperwork. He didn't need a code enforcement officer to do that.
You might have missed my point there, but he was going to, as far as writing up the report, he could do it all day long. But
right.
In the past, he was the first one there. He'd have simply wrote a Oregon revised statute citation, period.
Well, again,
he didn't do that.
Or passing a stop sign or something, or
I can't recall. This has been quite a while ago, but just prior to that, there'd been quite a lot of sheriffs gathered at Washington, D.C., I understand. I didn't hear all the results or any of them, the results, but they went back as far as what's coming up. And I figured somebody, at least in our department, our sheriff's outfit, you know, kind of took things a little bit serious. They didn't write a citation.
Right. Well, again, if someone passes a stop sign and injures somebody, they're liable, number one.
Right.
And that should become part of the report. A citation, right, I don't think for saying, well, you got a ticket, now you got to go to one of these nisi prius courts that have no power or authority over you and will fine you and make money off you, and the state will make money and everybody will make money, and all those people will be happy, but we are just totally fleeced all the time. Of course, that would be a problem. But definitely in the report, to make that point, what took place, that person had a duty to come to that stop sign and stop, and come to a red light and stop. And look, many a times I've come to red lights, especially in the middle of the night, you can hear the crickets, and, I go past them. I'm not going to stay there and sit on a red light, just go. But generally speaking, it's common sense that you need to do these things. And if someone was to just fly through a red light and the sheriff was there, I think the sheriff should pull them over and should give them a little tongue whipping, in the sense of telling them, they're liable for that. Not that they should give them a ticket, okay,
right.
But that they're liable and it's dangerous and don't do it again, because, whatever happens, they're liable,
Yeah.
And I got a heavy foot on the gas pedal myself, and
there was an injured party, that's for sure, in the deal.
Well,
to some degree.
Well, there you go. Of course. So that's the law enforcement. Look at sheriffs don't. Again, they have no clue of their powers and authority. The people look at. We are where we are today because people don't know the law.
Right.
Heritage is in the law, and our inheritance is liberty, okay? And you can't have liberty unless you know what your rights are. You understand the law. This law is something that everybody should know. And law is common sense. We're not talking sitting down and learning boring statutes or codes or whatever the kid. Nothing like that. But we need to know the law, which is common sense, okay, ultimately. We need to understand who we are as a people. We do need to understand that we are the lawgivers, we're the law writers. We, the people, ordained and established the Constitution for them, we are the maker of the law. We're the final word. They have to come to ask us, although they bypass this a lot now, they have to come to ask us for an indictment, and we either say yay or nay, okay? So we have the power to decide on that. When you get into a courtroom, if the statutes are applied, maybe it's a problem with someone involved in commercial activity where statutes would apply to them, and, then, of course, the jury is, responsible to apply righteous and just statutes upon these individuals who signed up to be under those things. They've agreed already by performing whatever it is that they're doing, commercially speaking, or maybe someone in a government agency or an agent or whatever the case may be. Okay, so they have to apply that. But they may say, oh, wait a second, I don't like that statute. I disagree with that. Or in this case, this statute shouldn't be applied. Whatever the people, we're the lawmakers. People need to understand the power and the authority we have. We ordained and established these things. We're the ones that, we put them in office. People don't even realize we can take them out of office. We can do recalls. We can get rid of these people that are problematic and replace them with people who will obey the law, will honor their oaths. So it's up to us to do these things. But if we're ignorant to it, we don't know about it, if we don't know how to control our courts, because the people need to control the courts, no judges are permitted in a court of law. People don't understand, don't realize that. They don't know that. A judge is not permitted in a court of law. They're only in courts of equity, okay, which is legislative law upon commercial or, activities within government agencies, okay? That's where they belong. They can make decisions there. There's an appellate process that goes up the line for that, too. But when it comes to a criminal act against an individual or a person that goes into a court to battle something out and it's over $20, okay, well, it's a court of law, and the people decide. There are 12 juries, and it's called the King's Bench, and they have to do the will of the King. And the King of our court is Jesus Christ. We're built upon the Bible. So we have to apply what the will of God is, ultimately. We have to follow the law written in our hearts. God said he put it in the hearts. You put 12 people together, you're going to get, and they understand that, you're going to get the will of God at the final conclusion of that, because they're going to be following their hearts and not the statutes and codes and regulations of men. You see? But we even have power over that. We have not only the power to decide the facts, we have the power to decide the law. And it is our job and our duty also to decide the penalty. And a penalty should be focused with an eye on restitution of the injured person. All of that is gone. They've stolen it all. It's all been stolen by the minions of the New World Order, also known as the ABA, the American Bar Association. All right, anything else, Tim?
No. Thank you a lot.
Okay. Jim from Pennsylvania, you got the mic. Go right ahead.
Hello. Good evening. It's Jim.
Hey.
I wanted to inquire about the first question that Jan had read about the gentleman in California that had inquired to try to organize. And he was unable to. My question was that individual trying to, nobody in his county contacted him? I yield.
Yeah, but, I didn't hear that. I'm not too sure. They would just want to know how to do something. Some people do have a problem with trying to get people to get going. We all have that problem to some degree. I've been trying to get a committee of safety going here in my county for quite some time. I did hit upon one group of people who were very active and wanted to do something, and they were having speakers coming to their meetings. They were doing it twice a month. And so I came as a speaker to introduce them to the Committee of Safety, and I think it was 28 people at that. In one accord, they all agreed, yeah, let's do it. There was also a law group connected to that. I think there was maybe about, 15 people from there. So I went to that meeting and talked with them about the committees of safety, and they were all in on it too. So we have to find people who are active in the community to really get this thing going. But it doesn't have to necessarily be just that. It can be anybody. But you're more apt to get some success of a response from people who are somewhat active already in the community. So that's why you want to go looking for organizations. Gun Club is a good place to go to try to get people that might be interested in this. Churches might be something you might want to go to try to get people interested in this. There's all kinds of different organizations within every county where people are active in something. And those are the people you want to approach first. And then there's a plan. We're going to teach a plan on how you can get all the people in the community to catch their attention over time and really build up. For a successful committee of safety, okay, really you can do this with 50 to 100 people to be very successful. But to be extremely successful, you're going to want to marry the number that the statutory committee men are. And what I say for that, for instance, in my county, I'm in Dutchess County, and we have 249 election districts. And the statutory setup is one committee man for each election district. Okay, so 249 committee men is sufficient to get all of the work done. Okay, and they don't even have all those positions filled half the time, or people don't show up and they don't walk the papers. So you can get a lot of things done with a lot less than that anyway. But the point is, you know, that is the ideal thing, is to get to that point. And we'll teach people, you know, with through these videos and things that we're putting together, you know, on creating these committees and the subcommittees and what their job is and the duties, what they need to do, what the goals are, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You know, we'll teach the people all that, but we'll teach you a way to be able to build your committees of safety up with a large number of people very quickly if you follow the plan and the protocol we set up. But the hardest part of this whole thing is getting it started. You know, the ideal thing to get maybe 15 or 20 people to get it started. You could do it on less if you want. Okay, you can start the organization with four people and actually do things, but you really got to look for to build that membership. You know, so if you can get 20 people, you've got something going at that point. Okay, if you get 20 people who are interested in coming to the meetings and trying to, you know, build that committee of safety, you know, the key thing is everybody bring someone with them the next meeting to be introduced to what we're doing, you know. You know, we have lots of videos to be played which are educational, which is empowering, because it's all about the law and about who we are as a people, our history. So playing a short video at every meeting, especially when you have guests, would be very powerful. Sending them out to see the first video on a front page, for instance, is something that's extremely important and powerful, because if they look at Government by Consent, which is National Liberty Alliance presents Government by Consent, first video on a website, it's an hour long, get people to look at that, and then they will understand what we're doing and to be somewhat primed in order to come right into the meetings and get started. And of course, you have the charter and you have these other videos that they can come and watch to see instructional, which one of these, every one of these subcommittees, what the job is, what it's doing. Everybody got to join to a subcommittee and get active. Everybody's got to get active around the primaries times, you know, in order to put statesmen into the office. And read them the Riot Act and let it be known. You need to go. You need to learn the Constitution. You need to know the law of the land. You need to understand who we are as a people. Okay, so they have to come out and take the course that we put together, Court Access in the Common Law, because it covers everything. And then they can get a certificate for that showing they showed that, and then that person is worthy to help them get elected in whatever position they run for. But then, you know, you got the Riot Act read. You obey the Constitution. You obey the law. You do what the people, the will of the people. And as long as you're doing that, we're good. We're going to elect you again next time. But if not, we'll take you out as quick as we put you in. You can do a recall with 90 days. We're going to teach and do a video on how to do that also. So, again, you know, it does take a little... Well, it takes, you know, it took me quite a few months, really, to locate a group of people, you know, and try to get something going. I did do one presentation, but most of the people that came to that presentation came from other areas, you know, and so we didn't have a lot of local people coming. We were kind of hoping it didn't happen that way. We had a few people that was from Rod and Gun Club where we were doing this, and I was kind of surprised that they didn't get more involved in this. In any event, you know, now recently, again, I kept trying to find a group to bring the message to, and finally we hit pay dirt. So people got to struggle with it and work with it, you know. Anything else, Jim?
Hey, John, like I said, my question was just, I was concerned that this individual from Connie in California was unable to coordinate with people in his, you know, people... names already members of NLA in that particular county that he resided in. That was my thought.
Yeah, that's depressing. I know. Look, that's very, very depressing. It's the reality of the way things are. You know, people claim one thing and they may, you know, say an interest in this, but then they don't get up to do the job. They do things. And we've been trained, look, to be lazy anyway. We've been trained to no longer read, you know, we have to watch a video. I mean, we're doing videos really to get the interest, and hopefully people will get back to reading. We need to make sure our children read, you know, we need to bring books back into the school. There's a lot of things we need to do with our schools, you know, and proper education and so on. But yeah, that is a problem. We have people who have signed up as leadership, and yet they have not done anything to exercise and execute the leadership that they signed up for, you know. It's just the way it is, you know. So, you know, there's only a handful of people here and a handful of people there that'll do the right job. But I will tell you one thing, though, that the committees of safety, if done properly, you will get people, because it's all about step by step, point by point, you know, building them up an understanding of what it is we're doing and the empowerment that they have, and the fact that we need to, if we don't exercise our right of government by consent, then the government will consent to themselves, and that's what they've done, okay? And the first order of business, really, that really hit hard with the Committee of Safety that we're trying to teach is really the Educational Committee. We need a committee of correspondence, of course, which only requires one or two people in the beginning, and hopefully more than that as time goes on. But we do need a lot of people involved in the Educational Committee. As a matter of fact, we'll be teaching that everyone in the beginning should be focusing in on the Educational Committee, because the Educational Committee is the committee that's going to bring the education to the people within our communities. They're the ones that's going to bring the education to the sheriff and to all these other people that are running for office. They're the one that is going to bring education back into the schools, a proper education. They're the ones that's going to get contact with the parents and the grandparents of the children within those schools, and they will come to the meeting, because we're going to go to bring back the schools back under the will of the people, and we'll be talking about that very soon, because, again, I just finished off on a video on that. I did the PowerPoint. I got to create the video. But in any event, once you get to the people who have children in school and they understand what we're doing, that's where the power and the anchor and the strength of your committee is going to come from, because those are the people who have become the most active. But then, you know, there are other things going on also. And the other thing is when the statutory committee men learn about the Committee of Safety within their county, they're going to be jumping ship to come over to us, for numerous reasons. Number one, they suffer the pain of attrition, high attrition, because you go and become a committee man for within your, it's a statutory process, but you become a committee man, and as over time you start to discover you're just a sucker, you're just being used to put the criminal on the right or the criminal on the left in. And once you start to realize that, the whole thing's a setup. Most of the voting is not real. They stack everything, and it's all run by party bosses, and they're just putting one against the other. You know, after we just get sick of it and you leave. You came to do something. These people became committee men to get involved in their community, and they get sickened and leave. So those are the people, when they discover us as committees of safety within their county, they'll come to us, and they have the knowledge of how that process works. I mean, again, the political process, it gets a little involved, and I'm doing a video on that, and there's quite a few subcommittees underneath the committee, the political committee. And it's just subcommittees that break and come together depending on the election district that you live in. And because you have, for instance, you got the state election. You have to come together into, the whole state has got to come together. The committee men of the whole state come together to discuss, you know, the plan for the next 2 years. It's usually on an even year. And an even year is usually when a governor might be elected, or a senator might be elected, or the president might be elected. So it's federal elections on that level, or it's state elections. On the odd years, it's all local stuff. You know, maybe county, city, town, whatever. Those are elections running on the odd years. But you have to come together once every 2 years to make a plan for the following 2 years, on how and when you're going to come together in order to discuss the different political subdivisions that you are trying to fill with statesmen. So again, we're laying this all out in videos. It's already laid out and written in our handbooks, but I guess people need videos, and you know, it's nice to be able to sit down and watch a video and you get the whole picture. And then you can go back to the handbooks too and get more information, more detail. You know, like, okay, I could do this, that, and what am I going to do? Let me go to the handbook, okay? So, again, we've got both the handbooks and now the videos, and to get the people educated, to get them involved.
John, we are in Allegheny County, Pennsylvania, and Roslyn's leading us every month. We have a meeting, so I just want to let you know. But what I also wanted to ask, if Jan's still in the queue, could he... Could he read that question number 2 that was 2 pages long? I'm just curious, you know, if there's nobody else in the queue, if you could go back to that question. It's supposed to be 2 pages long, I think, Jan.
If Jan could pull a couple of questions out of that, because there is nobody else in the queue right now except for you. So if Jan can do that, that'd be fine, and we'll try to answer some of those specifics, you know. I mean, I don't want him to read the whole 2 pages, but maybe he can pull out, oh, here's a question here, and here's a question there.
Yeah, that'd be great. I yield.
Okay. Thanks, Jim. Jan, what say you?
I think you have to read the whole thing to get to the questions.
How long of a read is it?
About 2 pages.
Well, that sounds like it's going to be quite long. Yeah, I don't think we want to get into that. I think the person needs to break that down into questions. And, you know, what's the subject matter? Is it one subject matter with lots of questions to it, or is it lots of things, different subject matters?
Well, it's just a time history of what happened to the individual.
Yeah. Okay. All right, well, we don't want to get too deep into history anyway. I mean, we'll talk about the law, we'll talk about certain solutions and give some advice and that kind of thing, but we don't want to get too much into details because, you know, we just want to spend more time, if we can, talking about what we're doing here to save the Republic. But we are teaching law, and so people can come in with a law question, but we've got to keep them short if we can. I don't want to spend maybe much more than 5 minutes on each kind of a situation, you know?
Okay, at the very end of the 2 pages, there's several questions. So you have to go through the whole thing to get enough background, I guess, to answer the questions. Mm-hmm.
Try a couple of questions. Maybe I'll be able to respond to something. If not, then we'll just move on to something else. If you think it's necessary to read it, then we'll just move on to something else.
Well, when you feel you have enough for an answer, just stop me, okay, John?
Okay,
I am reaching out because my partner and I need your help, because you are the only one I believe that can help us, whether it be closure or knowing we tried instead of nothing at all, or succumbing and getting justice for the pain, suffering, and torment we were put through by the county of Santa Cruz, California. I think it may be much too long of a case or story to email. I would love to go into details in a phone call. But I will give main points of what has happened, and then I will ask my questions. And then I will clarify our request to you, NLA. Here's a little bit of context to show how it all began. I met my girlfriend, fiancé, back in 2019. We met at work and became serious. She had 2 children from a previous relationship. In August of 2021, we had a daughter together, my first child. The day she was born, it was the start of a nightmare that we never imagined. The hospital staff had their own thoughts and feelings the moment we came in while my partner was in labor. The doctor told her to stop pushing when she wasn't even dilated, then gave her a shot, and then said, "We will be back in 30. About 10 minutes after they left, my girlfriend yells, "She's coming," and I ended up delivering my daughter with one other nurse. Then everyone else came and did their job. They called CPS immediately due to positive results for controlled substance. My partner was in treatment and getting the help she needed. Was in counseling and doing group sessions every week. It took us 5 days to get my daughter discharged and home, and were definitely put through the ringer. Fast forward 2 months, we took my daughter to the emergency room due to seizure-like activity because we were told by our insurance's nurses hotline. We immediately went to the ER, and all they wanted to do was drug test our daughter, and every test came back negative. Clearly wasn't exposed like they were presuming, and we even informed them that wasn't the case for them to even drug test her that many times. They ended up transferring her to Good Samaritan Children's Hospital to do more tests, and they transported my daughter without me or mom, even though I specifically told them we want to be transported together in the ambulance. Fast forward again. CPS ended up opening the case in court and asked the court to authorize removal. We were told to show up in court, and that's page one. We were told to show up in court, and we already had attorneys assigned to us. The attorney lied and misinformed us and told us to sign a waiver of our rights and for us to just do the service and get our daughter back in 6 months. We finished and completed our case plan within 4 months. Then our social worker towards the end goes, "Mia," and the department tells the court that they have no records of anything we completed, even though we had sent certificates of completion and everything to the social worker. The court ordered another 6 months of services, but still out-of-home placement. My girlfriend ended up getting her services terminated at 12 months, and because I was making significant progress, even though we both had completed the case plan, they said I could extend another 18 months. Even though I had requested her back in my care at the time, and they denied. They end up terminating both our rights, and yet our attorneys didn't do squat what we told them to do, nor did they have our best interest in mind. Fast forward 2 years, we had another child, a son born on December 17, 2023. This time he was born in the front seat of our car on the way to the hospital. AMR, American Medical Response, came and assessed the mom and baby. We were told baby's vitals were good, skin color was good, and cry was also good, but still it would be good to go to hospital just in case. Right when we arrived at the hospital, I ripped our son from our arms and started attaching all crazy machine to him, and I freaked out and was trying to get out what they were doing, and they wouldn't answer me. I kept trying to ask, and they just wouldn't tell me and kept doing what they were doing. They ended up calling the sheriff saying I was being violent and that I was denying any and all medical care to my son. And the sheriff said if I didn't leave, I would be charged with trespassing. And at that point, knew what kind of a situation this was going to end up being. And I looked at him and asked if I heard him correctly, that he was going to arrest me for trespassing for asking what they were doing to my son, and why was I being kept in the dark. And he said yes. And, of course, I ended up being put under arrest for trespassing, and then when I was brought outside, I was told I was being detained, and they searched me. During the search, I ended up getting charged with possession of stuff and paraphernalia, as well as willful cruelty for permitting child to suffer. That's next page. At arraignment, I denied being represented by counsel, and the judge wouldn't let me represent myself and assigned a public defender over my objection. During trial, I was telling my attorney to correct what was being said because they wouldn't allow me to say anything. They didn't present any evidence, but the judge accepted it, and my attorney didn't object even though I told her to. Then one day, my attorney told me that if I take the possession charges, they will not mention anything to do with drugs or anything during the trial. And, of course, what happens? The first thing they bring up during trial is that there were drugs involved. I wasn't allowed to bring up anything to do with my CPS, and the jury at the end were instructed to follow the law as the judge tells them what the law is. And everyone came back with a guilty verdict, even though the truth was far from what was presented. So now I'm on mandatory 4 years probation, and I have to complete all different classes regarding medical and prenatal related classes. I also have a restraining order against me to even see my son. I haven't been able to see him since the day he was born. I didn't even get to hold him. Everything the county has done has been for their own pleasure, and now I'm homeless and barely making it because of their evilness. My appeals are taking forever, and my appeals attorney is from the Court of Appeals. I know everything he did was unlawful. I know what exactly the actions were, but I'm not sure how I should bring up the issue of no due process. Do I file a writ or sue the court? Is the same case or new? Sue the prosecutors, six of them. And that's the questions.
Well, I hope everybody's been listening very carefully to that case. That in itself is an affidavit in itself. You should make that into an affidavit. And, you know, I'm not good with long affidavits. I always tell people to keep it short. That's not long, by the way. It's a couple of pages, it sounds like you said. But to make more on that would be fine, too. That's the point that I've been trying to make, and many people here at National Liberty Alliance is trying to make to those people who have no experience in the courts. You do not have a constitution anymore. You do not have rights. The Bill of Rights has been swept into the trash can. It's not there anymore. They don't even follow their own rules. Their rules are horrific. They're horrible. But even those, you know, so you try to use their rules, when they break them, they ignore that too. We're stuck with evil. That's where we're at. There's a huge, huge amount of people in this country that are anti-American. They hate the system that we have. They hate the Constitution. They hate me and they hate you, anybody that talks like us, anybody who wants to exercise their rights. You know, the medical system is just, it's garbage. You know, you go to the hospital. If you get into a car accident, they're great at putting bones and stitching you back up and getting you back going again. But you go in for an illness or anything extended from that accident, and they give you these pharmaceuticals. They're only there to kill you, just like with the food and the water and the air. It's just endless, endless, endless. You know, I was listening to something that Gerard was sharing with me, this brain surgeon, okay, and he is happened to be in certain places at the right time to experience and find and see certain things that took place, and he has collected a lot of information, has laid it out. He's made contact with RFK. He's educated RFK in a lot of things. RFK was already educated in a lot of things already, of course, concerning health particularly, and the murder, the assassination of his uncle and his father. And, you know, and he knows what's going on there. And this guy here connected with him, and I understand there's a connection with Trump now, so Trump understands this stuff too. The medical system is as bad as the Federal Reserve or the court system. CPS is one of the most evil institutions that America has ever produced. Okay, I can't tell you all the horror stories that I've heard similar to this concerning, the CPS. It's time for people to wake up. You better go and learn the law. Everybody needs to learn the law. And even though we're going to get America back, we'll only be right back here again if we don't learn the law. And it is not a big thing. It's all logical. It's common sense. It's exciting and it's empowering to know you, because the law is all about who we are as a people and the rights we have and the protections that we have. That's what it's about. That's empowering. Okay. You know, when I write papers and write books, I find it empowering to go do all this research and bring it together and put it into a paper or a book or something, file it in a court. They can't answer any of the papers that we write. They can't answer one iota of it. The only thing they could do to us is throw us out of the court. That's it. And but with this individual, I strongly suggest one thing. If I were you, I would start making a list of every single person involved from the beginning of your horror story to the end, including police officers, CPS, the judge, every single person involved. Make sure you get it down into your affidavit. You should be doing that now. And you should be adding to your affidavit as time goes on. Oh, yeah, I forgot this happened. Here, let me put this in. Just get it going. That becomes a court case, okay? And learn the law, learn the process. You know, I strongly suggest that you take all of our courses, but the most important course to be taken is the one found under Education Starts Here and come down to Court Access and the Common Law, okay? That's the course you want to take if you want to learn how to go into court and take care of your business. Okay, and there are ways you can kind of defeat this thing of trying to put a lawyer on you and so on and so forth. But if you have to understand how the court system works. You have to understand the structure of the court. That's what we teach here. You have to understand what law they're using, by what authority they come by, and by what authority you come by. And you have to have a proper mindset. And, you know, I notice that every single time I go into a courtroom, I'm coming in to battle an issue with an agency or a corporation or whatever the case may be. And first order of business, I find myself for 6 months fighting the judge who doesn't belong in my court. Okay? You can't get him out of the court. The only good news is we're 2 months away from that ending. Is it two? Let's see. We're in October. We've got November, December. Yeah. October 2, so let's say 3 months. That's going to end in 3 months. People, if you need to get into courts to deal with this process and you have to, you know, take care of your own business, now is the time for education. People should have been educating themselves long before, but if you're just finding out, now is the time to get educated. You need to get educated, okay? Because if you're ignorant, you're not going to get anywhere. But we are going to take our courts back. I am convinced of this, absolutely convinced of the fact that our courts are going to be restored back to courts of justice. And we're going to get them to understand who we are as the people, that we are the power, we are the authority, that no judge belongs in a court of law, only a magistrate. Now, every judge is a magistrate, so they can sit in the court of law, but they can make no judgments whatsoever. No summary judgments. They can't make any decisions saying, oh, this evidence is no good, we don't like this evidence, you can't bring that in, or you can't bring this in, you can't. Before you know it, you don't have any evidence. And this is what they do. This is the game they play. And if it's criminal, they'll tell you, oh, you're going to jail for 20 years. But you know what? Listen, I'll work out a deal. 3 years, okay? They do it all the time. A lot of times they don't even get an indictment. Sometimes the judge just makes the rule without even a jury. How long are we going to live with this craziness? How are we going to allow this to continue? If we don't get educated on the other side of devolution, we're only going to end back to where we are. We're going to be right back here again. There is going to be a power void, okay? And it needs to be filled once we get to the other side of devolution. And if we, the people, don't fill it, they will. Because that's what evil does. You know, I don't know what the percentage is, but it's high. You know, had X amount of people, you have psychopaths or sociopaths. And I understand the only difference between the two is a psychopath is born and a sociopath is made. That's my understanding. I haven't done any research. I did do a little research and reading, trying to figure that out, and that's what my conclusion came up to be. But these people that are psychopaths and sociopaths, they seek their control freaks. They seek power. They usually have no morals, but not all of them, you know. But generally speaking, if they're falling on the evil side of things, you know, they're seeking power and destruction. And generally, that's where they end up because they're self-focused, they're selfish. But in any event, my suggestion to you is to get educated. Educate, 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 educate. I'd spend the next 3 months doing everything I can to learn what I can. When I first started to try to figure out how the court system works, I got a program called Ooh, Juris. Eric, what's the name of that course? Gerard? I forget the name of the course. Some lawyer gave it, okay?
Jurisprudence.
Jurisprudence, thank you very much. Jurisprudence. And I decided I'm going to understand how this court system works. So I bought the program. Back in the day that I bought it, everything was downloadable. So I've got like three-ring binders, and it's got all that stuff in there that I just download. I printed everything out and put it in a book form so I can refer back. I use it as a reference book. I don't use it anymore as a reference book because we've got so much more that I put together, and a lot of that stuff too, of course. And so the thing is I decided, well, okay, I'm going to learn this. I'm going to take a weekend. I'm going to go through this course. And I started on a Friday, and I worked through it all the way through to Sunday, and I did the whole thing. Now, of course, a lot of blank spots in between. You don't get everything, but I got the picture. I got the framework. I got the boundaries. And then from there, I was able to ask myself other questions and do some research to get the conclusions and the solutions and, you know, the information concerning the answers to those questions. And over time, I kept adding and adding and adding and adding and adding. So my point I'm trying to make is this. If someone has a lot of time, in 3 months, you can really understand crystal clear this whole process, the system, everything. Writing is a different issue. And writing, you learn from reading. Read, read, read. You know, you read our cases, okay? You can go over to the federal court cases, go right down this whole line and start reading those cases. We have certain Supreme Court cases, landmark Supreme Court cases. You know, Marbury versus Madison, powerful, 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 case. We have U.S. versus Williams, an extremely powerful case. You want to know that, okay? So here's quite a few cases you could read through. Not all of them are as powerful as some of them. Some of them are so strong, so powerful, they empower you, okay, greatly. But that's what you want to do to learn to write. You want to read. Read these are court case solutions, of course. This is written by the Supreme Court, the Supreme Court, so whether it be state or federal. Okay? But our cases, okay, we've written lots of cases. You can read our action against the judiciary. Okay? This will give you one heck of an education on how to write. Okay? You know, my earlier writing is, of course, weaker than my latter writing. Because, you know, you get better and better and better and better at this thing. You become more and more, you know, specific and complete. And you get the bigger picture. But that's what I would do. I suggest everybody to, even if it takes you 6 months, learn the law, take care of your own legal business, stop giving money to lawyers who are only there to make more money. They're crooks. Every one of them has been trained to be a crook. They have no morals. They're just as bad as our government. They are the destructors of this nation. They are the minions of the New World Order. And every judge is taught lawyer. They were taught to be a lawyer, and they became a judge. And they're handpicked. You don't get to become a judge unless the bar chooses who you are. And that's Satan working out there. That's the devil. Because they're the ones that decide who the judges are, and that's why we have such a big problem. And if you listen to C-SPAN or any of those places where you can, well, you see a lot of it on YouTube now. They get little things. Particularly, I like to watch what's going on in the Judiciary Committee on the Senate. And it's very depressing, though, when they're interviewing these judges that this clown in the White House is sending up to be federal judges, and they don't even know what the Bill of Rights is. They don't know the Second Amendment. They don't know, well, they're familiar with the Second Amendment, but they don't know the details of the First Amendment. They don't know the Fourth Amendment, the Fifth Amendment, the Seventh Amendment, the Tenth Amendment. They don't know any of those things. These are people going to be judges, and this is the kind of people that are coming up. To become a federal judge, they send people up there that are working in administrative courts, the Department of Labor courts, or any other administrative court, and that's the only experience they have, and they send them up to become a federal judge. This is what we're up against. And until we, the people, wake up and start taking care of our own business, exercising our right of government by consent, learning the law, understanding who we are as a people, know what our heritage is, you cannot know the heritage that you have unless you know the law. For your heritage is in the law. Your heritage is the law. We have unalienable rights. Comes from God, written in the hearts of men. And so that's what we need to focus in. We need to understand. We have to have a different mindset. We're the boss. We tell them what to do. They don't like it. And right now it's difficult to tell them. I mean, you know, I tell them in certain ways, very subtle ways in my papers, and they get very angry with me. But life goes on. You know, look at, I've got my own list of many, 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 many people that I intend on going after on the other side of things. And that's what I suggest this person should do, or anybody else has been stuck in that kind of a situation. The evil that they put upon you, the destruction of your family, the destruction of your two children. You have no idea who's taking care of these children, and they don't know their mom and their dad. That's, you can't get any more evil than that. You just can't. These people are so blind and so evil. So I say, learn the law. And that's what I strongly suggest, not just to you, but everybody else hearing my voice. Learn the law, or you're just going to be beat up. And when you do have to go to court, so one day in life, you're going to have to go to court for one thing or another. It may not be a criminal thing. It could be just a civil thing. Okay? And you're going to go and say, well, I don't know how this works, so I'm going to have to find me a lawyer and give him one-third or even more of whatever it is. You know, you want to go to federal court, you want to take federal court, you better have about 50 grand to put down to get started. Okay, you'll get maybe some shady lawyer, you get 10 to 20 grand to get started, but they're going to be hitting you for money, 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 money all the way through. And when you can't pay the money, they stop the case. We need to wake up. We need to take this nation back. We need to take our lives back. We need to take everything back. We need to take our schools back. You know, bring back a proper education. We need to take the economy back, a political process, a judicial process. As I said before, the only person that belongs in that courtroom, as far as for the government is concerned, okay, is a magistrate, and of course, you know, the sheriff, and those are the only two, you know, individuals that work for the government that belong there. Of course, the stenographer and a few other individuals like that, maybe, and if it's criminal, maybe the prosecutor, okay. But look, at this is the people's court. The people run this court. The people make the decisions. The people decide it all. And the magistrate is only to certify, secure, and seal the will of the people of that court. And it's unquestionable. You cannot overturn a decision by a jury. It's done and sealed forever. Unless, of course, there's an error. That's obvious, you know, that or someone's rights was injured in that thing, then that particular situations can be protected and cared for and changed and whatever the case may be. But the point is the decision of the jury is final. You know, there is no Supreme Court that can overrule you. There's no court in the world that can overrule the decision of a jury. Okay. And that's the power of the people. That's your power. That's government by consent. Get an education. Let's get to the other side of things and make sure you respond to the jury call. You owe it. It's your duty. And it's everyone else's duty to do the same thing. It is our job to teach our children. That is their duty. They've been born into a nation where God is the Lord. And he is the Lord of our nation. He is the king of our court. And they need to have an appreciation on what that means, the liberty we have for that, being a Christian nation. Of course, they've robbed it from us. Well, we haven't experienced true liberty in our lifetime. We've experienced what we think is pretty good, but it's a whole lot better. But it's not as good as you think it might be when you find yourself in a court and find out that you have no rights, because that's the fact of the matter. So, Yeah, I would sue them all. I'd sue them for every penny they got and every penny they can earn from now until the day that they die, because each one of those people that participated in me owes me millions of dollars. Every single... There's not even enough money for them to come up with to restore the family that has been injured. So all, and you're suing not only for yourself, you're suing for your wife, you're suing for your children, and even grandparents and uncles. You're suing for everybody, but mostly, of course, the family itself. Your children have been affected by this. Now, I guess that's it. All right, we've kind of come to the end. Jim, if you have a final comment or anything?
Okay, that was Jim. Jim, right? You were asking.
Jim from PA, yeah.
Yep.
All right. Okay. Well, it's we're coming up on the end of the program here. We got 5 more minutes. If nobody's got a question, maybe I can rant on something. Again, let's talk a little bit about education, because that's the important thing. If you don't have education, you know, as far as who you are as a people, as far as what this nation is all about, as far as what kind of court system we should have, what kind of government we should have. And, you know, our government will only be as just and as right as our courts. Make our courts just and our nation, our government, will be just. That's just the follow of the whole thing. That's the king. Washington was offered that kingship and he denied it. No, I didn't want it. That went to God. We became a nation under law. A republic, one nation under God. Okay, but anyway, education starts here. Come down to Court Access and the Common Law. You click on that and get some information. You can listen to the first 3 hours for free and get an idea and a flavor of the course. But you come over to the right side. Once these two pages, if you come and sign into the court case, into this course, then you'll see these two tabs here, Court Access Recorded Video Course, which records all of the, it's a 90-hour course, all video recorded, and then a Court Access Table of Contents, which lays out the contents of the court, of everything that we cover. You know, we cover the introduction, the democracy versus a republic, the law and equity, what's the difference? You know, America is a natural law republic. 10 foundations of self-government truths that this nation is built upon. America was founded upon Christianity, the sovereign citizen movement. We talk about that situation. The right to practice law. You have a right to practice law. It's an unalienable right. There's no such thing as a license to practice law. It doesn't exist. The government doesn't license anyone to practice law. The bar does. And that shows you how powerful that they are, that they can do whatever they please. Okay, anyway, there's a lot here. I see one person in the queue, so I'm going to take that person in a second. But if you go through this, Chapter 1 of the Essentials, we talk about the grand jury, word formatting, law dictionaries, founding documents, founders' quotes, the Supreme Court decisions, U.S. codes, the Congress, constitutions, the glossary footnotes. We got the pleadings, how to write pleadings, all the cases, the causes of actions, the evidence, the affidavits. You know, everything you need to know about the process of going into the court and how the court works and all the papers and all the forms that is necessary to use and to execute through the process. You know, we teach it all. And then, of course, you can come here and ask questions. But anyway, let's take our last caller here. Looks like Mary. What state you're from? Mary, is that your name?
Yes. Hello, John.
How you doing?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. What state are you from, Mary?
I'm from Indiana, John. Right. I just wanted to ask about the course that you called jurisprudence. I think it's a jurisdictionary.
A jurisdictionary, yeah.
Yes. You talked about that, and you said you went through it in 3 days. However, I just want you to confirm that that's just not the course to take for us.
Oh, yes.
Juniors.
Well,
I'm sorry.
Let me just say something about that. It's a course done by a lawyer, okay? And he does teach you to not go to the Constitution. There are statutes out there, because that's what they taught him. So use your statutes. And he may focus in on, you know, maybe statutes. Well, he does focus in on statutes. statutes. We don't focus in on statutes, so that's true. But it was the course was good to learn the structure and the process. That's what it was good about, discovery and all the different things that make up the court. Of course, I'd done my research in common law, and I got a book called The Excellence of the Common Law, written by, where is that book? I know I got a copy of it here. Anyway, written by Brent Alan Winters, excellent book. Learned a lot from that, helped me a lot in my studies. You know, I had already studied a lot by the time I read that particular book, but it filled in things that I didn't know, that's very hard to find information. He'd done a lot of great research on that book. So anyway, the course that we have teaches that we don't use statutes. But we do use statutes and codes and regulations to control them. They have to be obedient to those things. So when they come and they injure us, they've stepped outside of their authority, which they're governed by regulations and statutes. Once they step outside of that authority, that's when they become personally liable. Talking about judges and different people of that type. And so we'll use those statutes against them, but they don't apply to us. So you have to know how to use these statutes, and you know, and look at it, especially on a federal level. Okay, there are 57 codes on the federal level, and we go through all of those codes. Let's see if I have my little handbook here with the codes. 57. Nope, I don't have that handy at the moment. Maybe here. This is it. Nope. All right. Anyway, there are 57 codes. You know, there's. I think it's. USC 3, I think, is statutes, codes, regulations concerning the President of the United States. It's like about 900 pages, okay? So those are important in order to control and empower the President of the United States. There's one in there for Congress, okay? And there's different things for the different agencies, codes for this agency, that agency, and the other, so on. And then there's the... USC 18, which really gets into what they apply upon the people, but it does have to do with, you know, a lot of that has to do with people who are breaking the law, but has nothing to do with us. Okay, those are statutes for them. It doesn't govern us. There's USC 28, same thing. USC 26, which is just 1,000 pages of gibberish. I mean, it makes absolutely, you can't find one paragraph in that entire 1,000 pages that makes any common sense whatsoever. That's how bad it is. And I'm serious with that. It is just nothing but gibberish. And that, of course, is for the Federal Reserve, it's the tax thing. So it's the tax law, which is no law. Even within itself, it says it's not even law. So it's not law, and they apply it against us. But anyway, back to you, Mary.
But thank you so much for confirming that. I was almost ready to take that earlier, and I am so glad you confirmed that. That was a great answer. I appreciate you so much.
All right. Thanks for the call.
Thank you.
We have come to the end. Now. Thank you. Okay, we have come to the end of the program, so we'll be back next Monday, Lord willing, and hopefully we'll see you all. And we do have Bible studies on Wednesday nights here in this room at 7:30 p.m. for anyone interested. With that, good night, everybody.